You're listening to The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and don't necessarily represent the opinions of Quenny Broadcasting.
Coming up to 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, it's our second hour of The Lauren Brooker Show on this Thursday. Man, this week seems like it's going quite quickly. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have our Lauren Brooker Show Friday Freeform. If you didn't know, that's where we ask you to come up with any topic in the world, and then we ask AI to come up with a short poem. And quite frankly, Ted, it's been a terrible segment, but we're still running it. And tomorrow we might use, what was the topic we might use tomorrow? Baked tomato pie.
Savory tomato pie, something like that, from the Masters.
From the Masters. It's on the menu at the Masters, which gets underway today.
I'd just like to point out that you said, sorry to interrupt your
Jim Nance. My Jim Nance.
You pointed out that it has been a terrible segment thus far, but we are going to forge ahead.
Well, yes, there's a lot of terrible segments on this show every day. So why get rid of another one? Listen, the AI portion of this, almost every poem has been fantastic, right? We're just not getting a lot of uptake, but let's be honest. The first season of Seinfeld, nobody watched either, so maybe just this particular segment needs a little more runway take off.
So this is our Seinfeld Chronicles. Let's go back to the drawing board.
Well, I don't know what kind of drawing board we can do. We just need people to call in and give us the topic.
Well,
but we do
initially
have.
There was no board. There was no drawing.
We do have a backup topic tomorrow, savory tomato pie, and see what kind of poem we'll get. It'll be good. And we're looking forward to that. And also tomorrow on the program, our Lauren Brooker Show consumption crew will bring some of the treats that they make at the Masters, and we'll do a tasting. Again, a pimento cheese sandwich at the Masters is $1.50. Unbelievable. And I believe phone calls are free, but everybody has a phone these days, so that's not an issue. Maybe that's gone now. All right, it is time. Very exciting.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
God, I love that intro.
I was going to say, I like it a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's amazing. That cost us $17.6 million to produce and import with the duties. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Meet the Candidates. Our goal here on the Lauren Brooker Show is to get you so informed about who's running in Bay of Quinte and Hastings, Lenox, Addington, and Tyendinega, that you know who to vote for when you go to the polls on April 28th, and today's candidate represents the riding of Hallett, Hastings, Lenox, Addington, and Tyendinega. She's the NDP candidate, Ava Duffy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Lauren.
Oh my goodness, we're so happy to have you. Very nice to meet you today. And I got to say, it's a big media day for Ava, because her and the other candidates are going from here to do a TV debate. And so you'll be able to see Ava twice on TV, because this interview is, of course, we record all our interviews for your TV as well. So there'll be lots of publicity for you.
Yeah, well, I've got a busy 2 days as well. We're going to be heading up to Bancroft tomorrow to do a couple of meet and greets
right.
and interviews as well. So it's been kind of crazy.
Well, you're from Marmara, and that just shows that you're going up to Bancroft, how giant this riding is. And I think you're realizing that now. You know, some people in Toronto, I say this all the time, they have a four square block riding, and your riding is legitimately what? What did Rick Brzee tell me? It's like 1,000 square kilometers or something crazy like that.
It's a couple of thousand.
Thousand square kilometers.
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, one of the things that I've been talking with other NDP candidates about is just the challenges of having such a massive riding.
Right.
And making sure that we're representing everybody in that riding.
Okay. Well, you want to be a member of parliament, one of the most important jobs in this country. So tell us a little bit about who you are. Who's Ava Duffy?
So number one, I am a mom of six beautiful children. Three? Yeah, six. That is a very common reaction. Three are boys and three girls.
Wow, you live in the Brady Bunch household.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three have ADHD, and then my eldest son is 12, and he's autistic as well.
Okay.
And so I've been working a lot with, you know, trying to get them the education that they need and how to make our education system work for them, because they do not learn the way that
the same way
regular children or most children learn.
You know, so interesting that you brought that up. Yesterday, we were talking about the original Australian show Love on the Spectrum, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if you've seen it. But on Netflix,
I haven't.
It is heartwarming and beautiful, and it's an amazing show to watch. And the thing that you get out of it is that people with autism are just like everybody else, but just different, and they just learn differently, and everything they do is normal, but just different. And that's the thing that the world has to understand.
Well, that's the truth. It is a spectrum for a reason.
Right.
A lot of people think it's a spectrum where you're, you know, not autistic to very autistic. And it's more of a spectrum between what your actual, what the impacts of your autism are. So you either are autistic or are not autistic.
Right.
And the spectrum is how that impacts
you. Massive. And there's some people who are very, I suppose, you know, nonverbal, and then there's people that you would never know, and it doesn't matter, because as long as they are breathing and living, I suppose they have a right to education and everything that comes with it.
I'm autistic and I have ADHD, and most people wouldn't know from talking to me, but I do struggle a lot with sensory issues and, you know, things along the lines of that, and, you know, social interactions sometimes. I'm getting better at it, though, because I kind of have to be.
Well, if you're running for political office, meeting people and being in social situations is a primary thing. Before we find out a little more about you, I obviously have to ask this question. You have six kids with, you know, some issues. How do you have how would you have the time to be an MP?
So I have a wonderful husband who is a great support, and he is a very active father in our children's lives. And so I have no concerns with his ability to be able to take care of them, just like he had no concerns with my ability to take care of them when he was going to work, while he's going to work.
While he's going to work, What does he do?
He's an electrician for the TTC.
Oh, wow.
So he does the overhead wires for all of the streetcars.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of cool.
It is very cool, actually. Yeah. I love talking about it, and I love hearing him talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that seems dangerous to me. But second of all, I mean, you know, I grew up watching those streetcars and the little sparks of the wires and everything, and somebody has to maintain that stuff. And I assume that's a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah, he likes it quite a bit, and I like to not watch him do it, because anytime I see him up that high, it terrifies me.
Right. It's not the height that would terrify me. It's the amperage going through those wires to power a... of course, they turned it off. I get it. Well, that's very cool. Now, do you have a career, or did you have a career, or do you have a job? What do you do? Six kids seems like a job to me, but...
Yeah, so right now my job is there are six children. I was a nursing student for a while before, COVID hit us, and I got incredibly sick with COVID.
Right.
And that actually disabled me. So I have something called POTS. I've also always had something called EDS, which is a joint condition.
Okay.
And when I got COVID, it put me and my eldest son in the hospital for quite a while.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has made it so that, you know, regular work is just, well, going back to nursing is not something that I was able to do.
That you were able to do. But you do feel you'd be able to do this job?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. And so you live in Marmara.
Yep.
And busy household. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to get into politics? Because, you know, this is cutthroat. You're obviously a very nice individual, and obviously a caring mom and wanting to be a nurse. So that's a caring. So I can say, I know your first answer is going to be, well, I want to give, because that seems like the person you are. But politics can be nasty. What made you decide you want to run?
Someone has to do it, right? So somebody has to be the change that I want to see in our community. And as I was, you know, looking, well, when I was looking into the NDP in our area, mm-hmm. we were needing somebody to do it. And so I decided to step up and put my name in.
What was that discussion like where you go to your husband and say, what's your husband's name?
James.
James, I think I want to sit in the House of Commons. Was that a what? Or have you always been political?
So I have always been very political.
Right.
My husband kind of got sick of hearing me talk about how much about politics as much as I do.
Right. Yes.
It wasn't really me that went to him and said, hey, I'd like to run. It was him who went to me and said, you know what? If you have all of this passion and they are looking for somebody, you know, you should do it. If you want to change things or if you want things to change, you should change it. Mm-hmm. And anytime I doubted, he constantly reminds me that I need to change it.
My God, it sounds like you are in a supportive relationship and a very supportive family.
My husband is incredibly supportive, and my children are so excited for this journey. My eldest is, you know, constantly wanting to come and put up signs with me or canvas. So.
Right. Things are tough for the NDP.
Yeah.
It's not a hidden story. It's a very topical story. Jagmeet Singh, of course, is the leader. He's having trouble in his own riding.
Mm-hmm.
You're running in a conservative riding for sure against an incumbent whose dad was beloved and by all accounts, people like Shelby as well. But that doesn't mean you can't win. It doesn't mean any of that. But it makes it much more challenging.
Yeah, there is a lot of challenges in this riding. And I'm not unaware of the fact that the NDP are not doing well at this moment, but we tend to do really well in a third party place when we are in Ottawa, and we do well to actually get things done. So, you know, even though we have been the third party, we have gotten a lot of our major commitments done. So dental care and child care, as much of pharmacare as we could have and all that stuff. We've got that done regardless mm-hmm. of our status there.
When I think of the NDP, I'm 54 and you're much, much younger than I am, but I think of Ed Broadbent and the name, you know, and the names that go on and how important the NDP have been in this country over the years. You mentioned third party and we've never had an NDP government. I think we came a little close with Ed, but we've never had an NDP government, and Ontario has,
mm-hmm.
Other provinces have. And I think a lot of people are, when you look at the Liberals and the Conservatives, they seem pretty close together right now.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Tell me how an NDP government or would be different than a Mark Carney government.
Well, it's fundamentally who we are going to be working for. So the NDP has constantly been fighting for workers and, you know, blue collar workers, people who So people who are struggling to make ends meet, things like that. That's who the NDP are fighting for. We're fighting for everyday Canadians, and the Liberals, Mark Carney, they tend to be fighting much more for, you know, billionaires, large corporations, things like that. And so we don't believe that should be our priority. Our priority should be, you know, everyday Canadians that are struggling right now.
So it's kind of interesting when you look at how each party is dealing with this election, which mm-hmm. is, I think you would agree, a hugely important election.
Absolutely,
for
Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And from my standpoint, and I've been doing this for a bit, it's the Liberals who are looking at the international stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Conservatives decided not to do that. And they're dealing with, every day they're coming out with something, a crime bill yesterday, and it's every day it's something from the Conservatives. And as you mentioned, the NDP is focusing in on everyday issues and everyday mm-hmm. Canadians. Is that what you're hearing at the door? Is that what you're seeing?
What I'm hearing at the door is that the things that are on people's mind is the cost of living crisis that we are going through and cost of housing and things like that. And when I'm talking to them about how the NDP is going to help with that, we're talking a lot about, you know, the grocery price caps and removing GST from all essentials, including heating and phone bills, things along the lines of that, that will actively make things cheaper for people quickly.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you know, the NDP is talking about this grocery price cap idea. How do you tell a private company, and our grocery stores are private companies,
yes,
what to do? If they want to sell an apple for $17, that's nobody will buy it, but it's their right to do that.
Well, fundamentally, I just feel like we need to hold them accountable for the not price gouging Canadians, not selling an apple for $17. They should not be allowed to do so.
Right.
And, you know, how do you tell a private company that? Well, that's what government is for. It is to help regulate, to help regulate things so that it's fair for people,
mm-hmm.
right? We shouldn't be continuously just handing over millions and millions of dollars to private companies just because they want to make a profit. Everybody wants to make a profit, and they would be able to make a profit even with price caps.
So give us an example. What would be capped? Like, how would you do it?
So there'd be eggs, cheese, you know, bread, things along the lines of that people need in order to give or to have a healthy
life. Staples,
right. Yes. So then things that are going to be like, you know, frozen meals that are already prepped, that stuff they could then create a profit on. But when the staples that Canadians need on an everyday for everyday life is where we are saying, no, you are not allowed to price gouge Canadians.
How does this work, though, with what we're dealing with as far as, you know, tariffs? And, you know, a lot of the food we get does come from south of the border. So when a grocery store gets that, and if we have a reciprocal tariff we might have with the United States, I'm in down the road, and that dairy product, even though we produce a lot of our dairy, and I encourage everybody to buy local dairy and certainly get their cheddar cheese from our local incredible cheesemakers, but you know, you get something and it turns out to be American, and then let's assume there's a 20% tariff on it. And so it's hard to put a thing on that because that's going to make the price go up.
Well, what we saw with COVID is that when the grocery stores have the opportunity to price gouge Canadians, they do. So we gave them, you know, well, they were saying to us, well, the food chain supply and all that stuff, supply chain, there we go, mm-hmm. that's the word, has been affected, and that's why our prices went up. But they still made record profits over COVID. And so there is still quite a bit of room for profit there. Also, yes, a lot of our things come from south of the border, but as I'm grocery shopping, we are seeing a lot more from Mexico, from other countries, not as much from the States that I would have expected. And when I made the decision that we are, you know, boycotting U.S. products, I found that that was much easier than I expected it to be.
It's 10:25. We want to hear from you. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546 is the number to call. As I always say, it's much better for your questions for Ava Duffy than mine. So again, our phone lines are open for our NDP candidate for Halat. Have you ever had dill pickle flavor Halat? It's pretty good.
No,
you should try it. You dip some pita in there. It's not too bad at all. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Ava's with us. We want to hear from you. 613-969-1545. You can catch us at cjbq.com as well, and your TV. We'll take a break.
The following is a paid political message.
I'm Ryan Williams. For the past 3.5 years, it's been my honor to serve as your member of parliament and to be here for you. You've told me how hard it's become to put food on the table, pay for housing, and help your kids get ahead. And I've been your voice in Parliament every step of the way. It's time for a new government that puts Canada first, that focuses on the basics, lowers costs, and makes life more affordable, finally. On April 28th, vote Ryan Williams and vote Conservative.
Authorized by the official agent for Ryan Williams.
Escape to a paradise in your backyard. Build a deck with Ryan Cook and his local team at Sterling Carpentry.
The deck is the perfect thing for the family. It's our safe place.
You're going to get something that no one else has. You're going to have something custom to you.
My absolute favorite is when, end of the project, the client is beaming. It's just like, yes, we did that.
Call Sterling Carpentry today to lock in the cost of all your materials. materials. Visit sterlingcarpentry.ca. Premium craftsmanship built to last. There's just one place to go for new and good used appliances. Smitty's Appliances has the best price and selection. After the sale, Smitty says it's service that's important. Smitty has been servicing the Quinte area for 50 years. That speaks for itself. There's a big inventory of new and used appliances available for same-day delivery at Smitty's Appliances. River Road, Corbyville.
At Tweed & Company Theater, you'll experience musicals, concerts, comedy, and so much more. See it all at Tweed & Company. Don't miss Ginger St. James in concert April 25th and J.P. Cormier April 27th. Plus, illusionist Nicholas Wallace, Frozen Jr., performed by Tweed's Summer Youth Theater, Bad Hats Theater's Alice in Wonderland, and Jersey Boys. For all upcoming shows, go online, tweedandcompany.com.
Nah, dang name it, Harold. The sun's frying my eyeballs.
Quit your yapping, Earl. My coffee's hotter than a skillet because of this blasted window. We need blinds pronto.
Blinds? Where are we going to get them? I ain't leaving this chair.
McAdam Windows and Doors, you old coot. They got fancy blinds, blocks the sun, keeps the nosy neighbors out.
McAdams, huh? They better not charge an arm and a leg. I'm already missing a toe.
They're affordable, Earl. Call them up. Get some blinds before we both turn into raisins.
Request a free quote from McAdam Windows and Doors. Quality blinds, happy homes. Online at McAdamWindows.com.
Pearl isn't your typical 83-year-old. She still works a full-time job every day with a smile on her face. She's living life to its fullest. Or is she? Pearl isn't your typical 83-year-old. She works every day because she can't afford to live without a paycheck. Poverty is hiding in Canada. Help us feed, shelter, and empower those in need. Donate today at salvationarmy.ca.
Hi, this is Mary Thomas, inviting you to join me each Sunday for conversations with people around the Quinte area, across Canada, and maybe even around the world. We talk about things you're curious about, things that annoy you, and things that matter in your life. Join me for Newsmaker Sunday, each Sunday at the noon hour on 800-CJBQ.
Live from Studio 800, it's the Lorne Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Welcome back. Our guest is Ava Duffy. She's the mom of six children, and she wants to give back by being your Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyndinnig. She's an NDP. And what is it about the New Democrats that, have you always been a New Democrat?
Oh, yes.
Your whole life? Really?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, your question that you were going to ask, what is it that drew me there?
Yeah.
Really, it was, I understand how easy it is for people to go from doing relatively well off to struggling. I grew up with a single mom who was on ODSP. And then I was very blessed to meet my husband, and we have had a wonderful life together. But I've always remembered those struggles mm-hmm. and how difficult that is. And I remember seeing people who have been, you know, doing really well and then just stumbling on things like, you know, you get hurt at work and all of a sudden now you can't pay for things, or you get put onto disability.
You're less than a paycheck away from,
yeah,
from complete annihilation.
Yeah, that was one of my big things. And then it was also their social justice issues. I'm bisexual myself, and so how firm they stand on their issues with the LGBTQ is something that was really important to me, and all sorts of other social issues. So how they view people who are experiencing homelessness, all these different mm-hmm. things really, you know, aligned with who I am as a person and how I view things. And so,
well, there you go. Well, that's great.
It was an obvious choice.
People need to fit, right?
Yeah.
And fit with a certain political leaning. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. You spoke about homelessness.
Yes.
And housing. And, you know, I don't care what level of government, all three levels of government have to be involved in helping people in this country, especially right now, have a roof over their head. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on housing? Obviously, Halat is a riding that is made up with a lot of ruralness to it, but there are some urban aspects to it where you see some of the issues that cities and towns are dealing with. So how would you, as an MP help or try to get more housing?
So the biggest thing that I would like to see is more non-for-profit co-ops or geared to income housing so that people who are struggling financially are actually able to afford rent.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to see that corporations can't buy what are affordable homes that are still on the market. And there's very few of those affordable homes to begin with. Corporations shouldn't be able to buy them.
I think it was the NDP who announced yesterday, maybe I'm wrong, that they would end the practice of allowing foreign people to buy homes in this country. It's one of the parties that announced it yesterday. I know I was doing two things, but I know the NDP have certainly been focusing on housing.
Foreign investors, that would make sense. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, neither am I, clearly. So.
yes, it would make sense for our for us to say that we don't want any more foreign investors.
Right.
The thing is that for a long time, Canadians and people in Canada have seen housing as an investment and as a way to make more and more money. And yes, that is a great way to build wealth. However, it is fundamentally a necessity. You cannot, you know, like you can go into Walmart and decide that shirt's too expensive, I'm not going to buy it. You can't just decide that the rent's too expensive, I'm not going to have a place
Everybody
to live.
Should have a roof over their head.
Yeah, exactly. And
but
so,
do you not think the other parties think that too?
Yes. I think that they would like to get that done with the free market, and simply that is not working. It's not. We are being, the free market incentivizes us to, you know, push the cost of housing up and up and up as much as we can. And because we don't have a lot of supply, the price goes up.
So in a way, you're saying there should be two systems, right? A system to make sure that everybody has a roof over their head. And then people like, you know, you and I who just go and buy a house if we can save up for it.
I think we need to invest more in the nonprofit.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily.
And I would say yes, kind of too. It's kind of a weird mix, but.
Yeah.
Personally,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the house. I have a house,
yeah.
And this is my second house, so I'm lucky because I was in the market already.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd be able to get a house now.
And a lot of people in this riding wouldn't be, right? So the average income in our riding is about $47,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the poverty line's about $48,000. So most people aren't able to buy these homes. And we're talking, you know, when the Liberals and the Conservatives are saying we're going to build affordable homes, are we talking 80% of, you know, what the current market rate is, or something that people can actually afford? Because I believe that we should be investing in things that people, everyday Canadians, can
right.
actually afford.
So what you're talking really is about geared to income housing. So if
yes.
somebody's making $35,000 a year, their rent should probably be like $700 or $800 or whatever the case might be. Who owns that then? Because, you know, there's, as you talked about, the market, and mm-hmm. landlords are charging what the market is bearing right now. So if you have an apartment, a two bedroom, and you're renting it to somebody whose income is low and you're giving it to them for $800, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who owns that building and who's, because a landlord is going to say, well, no, I want to rent this for $1,500 a month because that's what I can get.
Yeah, so when we look at the non-for-profit models that we do currently have, they are significantly lower than the market rate for rent right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real need to reinvent the wheel. You know, when we have a co-op, it's everybody who is currently paying into rent in that co-op is, you know, part of the ownership, and they
right.
get votes on things. And, you know, no need to reinvent that wheel. We just need to invest more into it.
Okay, so that's one thing. Another issue that we, of course, are dealing with in this area mm-hmm. is our military.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's Bay of Quinte Riding that the base is in, but a lot of people still in the area will work at 8 Wing, and We all support and love our troops.
Yeah.
So how would the NDP help out the military? We're in dire need of more people in the military and equipment and all those kind of things. We're not meeting our NATO targets for 2%. What would the NDP do?
So the NDP, one would like to invest pretty heavily in the military. We want to, you know, invest in our Arctic Circle and the defense of that. We're also wanting to invest much more in military housing, right? Mm-hmm. So housing is, you know, something we've been talking about constantly, but actually military housing specifically was something that was in our policies from, I think, 2021. And I haven't read past that, but I was kind of surprised to see that coming from the NDP. It was the only thing that I really wanted to see more from them, because I'm a big supporter of our military, especially right now with our sovereignty being threatened. I would like to see, you know, as much investment into the military as we can possibly get, so that, you know, if Donald Trump makes, yes, him.
Well, you know, we're not going to be able to stop the United States from coming into Canada, but it's not going to, I don't think it's going to happen. But I do know it's certainly something that people are thinking about, and that's going to be our next topic after the break, is how is the NDP going to deal with the orange scourge from down south, and how is it different than other parties? And we'll let you think about that answer. And we want to hear from you. Again, phone lines are open, 613-969-1545. Ava will have 90 seconds at the end of this hour to tell us why we should vote for her as well. Our guest is Ava Duffy. She is the NDP candidate for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga.
All roofs are not created equal. Hi, I'm Terry from Advanced Roofing. We build your roof to last for decades, not 10 to 12 years. That's why Advanced Roofing strives to provide our clients with the newest and most innovative products, along with superior installation practices currently available in today's market. Whether it's steel or shingle, call us for a free quote at 243-1083. Advanced Roofing, Quinte's most trusted name in roofing. That's 243-1083.
What's happening, Quinte, on CJBQ?
Celebrate Easter weekend at Palmateer's annual pancake breakfast. Enjoy delicious fluffy pancakes with Palmateer meat sausages drizzled in maple syrup, plus wagon rides to the Sugar Bush. Portion of proceeds support the Enrichment Center for Mental Health. April 19th and 20th from 9 to 1 at Palmateer Farm, Sugar Bush, Tweed.
And that's what's happening, Quinte. Brought to you by Allen's Auto Repair.
When you need auto repairs, make it quick, make it reliable. Make it Allen's Auto. The crew at Allen's Auto will work on any import or domestic vehicle, from major repairs to routine maintenance. Allen's Auto Repair. Quick, reliable. Station Street by the Cenotaph, Belleville.
Upgrade your kitchen and get paid for it. Visit Frigidaire Frenzy at Arnie's Appliances. Get a $100 rebate on every qualifying Frigidaire appliance you buy. Plus, every purchase enters you into a contest. Frigidaire Frenzy until April 16th at Arnie's Appliances, Tyendinaga. Everything but the taxes.
Come on, everybody, let's make Quinte green.
The environment is constantly changing, and Green Quinte will keep you up to date. Visit greenquinte.com for news about the climate, wetlands, recycling changes, flood advisories, and government decisions that may affect your life. Plus, simple steps for making your environment a little cleaner. Let's get spring greening at greenquinte.com.
Green Quinte.
Sponsored by Greenbacks Pawn Shop, Quinte Conservation, Habitat for Humanity Restore, and Crozier Heating.
Miss a Lauren Brooker show recently?
Missed it by that much.
No problem. Past shows for you anytime.
I'm so happy.
At CJBQ.com.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Forty 8:32 is the time. 800 CJBQ is the radio station. It is another edition of Meet the Candidates. Today's candidate is Eva Duffy. Ava is Hastings, Lennox, Addington, Tyandinega, NDP candidate. It's a lot out of my mouth. I wish this riding changed. I mean, it was bad enough to be HLA. Now it's HLAT. And please don't add any other words to it. But you were just mentioning off the air how much you love it, how much you really, really love the riding. And that's so nice to hear that this is something that you're passionate about, is where you live. Because if you win, you have to represent where you live.
Yeah, when we moved here about 2 years ago, I absolutely fell in love with Marmara. And then I have been falling more and more in love with the riding ever since.
What is it that you love?
Just the people. The people are so kind and, you know, open, and they really want to help each other. And I love that, you know, way of life.
Right.
So we raise chickens, and I love going down to Sterling Feed and Seed to, like, grab our chicken feed from there. They have excellent customer service.
Okay, there you go. Very good for chicken feed. What is chicken feed mostly made out of? Corn?
Yeah, mostly corn.
Yeah. And so how many chickens? Do you do it for eggs or for meat or both?
We have tried meat birds. That was hard for me, to be honest with you.
Because you got to kill them to eat them.
Yeah.
And they have personalities, don't they?
They do. They do. And
yeah.
So we now only have egg birds. We have 30 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
We have a small little, farm stand just at the end of our road. Oh,
and like, do you have like a cooler and people just put money in and take your eggs?
Yeah.
Do you sell out?
All the time.
Isn't that amazing?
Constantly.
That's so cool. There's nothing better than a fresh egg. Like, it's so different, isn't it?
While we were over the winter time, they stopped laying for us, and I had to buy eggs from the grocery store, and oh my goodness, I regret it.
Wow,
very different.
Yeah, very different, right? And of course, the eggs that you have are from chickens, and you know what you feed them, and
exactly. Their
feet probably touch the ground, your chickens, right?
Yeah, we free-range our chickens
right,
as well, so they get lots of...
Probably be delicious, just saying. Free-range chicken's delicious, I'm just saying. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the guy who is changing the world down south. That's the president of the United States. Markets are, again, doing crazy things today. We know that tariffs have come and gone and have come and so on and so forth. And there's, you know, tariffs on the automotive industry. Goodyear is in your riding, of course. They provide tires to the automotive industry. So one of the issues, maybe still the main issue of this election, is... people are deciding, Ava, who they think is going to best deal with Donald Trump. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people will go, I like Ava, I'm going to vote for her. But a lot of the day, some people might go, I like Ava, but I really think that Carney is going to be best to deal with Donald Trump. That's one of the big questions. Tell me how Jagmeet Singh is the best person to deal with what's going on in the world right now.
Well, that's a good question. So in all reality, I hate to say it, but we're likely going to be a third party when we, you know, go up to Ottawa.
If you believe the polls, right?
If we believe the polls, it is incredibly unlikely that Jagmeet Singh is going to be the person actually dealing with the orange man from the south. But that being said, when we are, you know, when we're there, we're going to be fighting for the people that are in this riding and to ensure that those tariffs that are going to be, you know, making life harder for those people. We want to make it as easy for them as possible, you know, as easy for Canadians to keep their elbows up as we possibly can while either Polyev or Carney are dealing with Trump on the side. Right. My passion and what I would like to focus on much more than dealing with Cheeto Man is, you know, making sure that families are able to put food on their table, to pay their bills, to be able to get to and from work. And if, heaven forbid, they lose their job, that they are able to get EI that is, you know, actually enough money for them to live on,
mm-hmm.
and to do that quickly and effectively too.
This country is has some social programs, as we all know. We have universal health care kind of in this country, mostly.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were talking about employment insurance and how, you know, some people are complaining, but the, I mean, really, we're quite lucky if I lost my job, if which could happen any day, by the way. I expect at some point somebody's going to come in and tell me I'm not doing this anymore. But there is, I have employment insurance and I've been paying into it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Canadians, I think, want their social programs. And you know, it was Tommy Douglas who came up with social health care.
Yep.
But how far does it go? Like, how far do you believe that the government needs to support us? I mean, I believe that we should have a social safety net, and I care about some social issues, but I also believe that Canadians have to work for themselves. They have to. Your husband works his ass off, I'm sure, right? Mm-hmm. And so I believe you have to try to build your own life. And try to, if you can, and there are people who definitely can't, mm-hmm. and that's why we have the system. But I think most people in this country can find a way to create some sort of life for them.
Yes, but there are, you know, no matter how hard you work, there are outside factors that are going to impact your ability to create that life.
Right.
We're talking about tariffs right now. There is not a single Canadian who has made it so that Donald Trump is imposing tariffs. There's nobody that we can blame for that, and it's not within their control. And so if somebody does lose their job, that's not something that they could have helped, right? And so
and that's why we need to have and that's why governments are investing a huge amount of money to try to stop or help out businesses, whatever the case might be. And I understand that, and I'm talking about not that situation, but mm-hmm. the situation of, let's imagine that Trump didn't even exist and everything was great, and Canada had the weather was warm today and the sun was shining and somebody's 20 years old and is able to, should be able to go get a job.
Yes. So I believe that if you are able to work, you should work, and you should be able to work for a better life.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do believe that I would like to see a Canada where there is a certain standard of life for everybody, so that people who are disabled, who can't go out and work, they still do have a good standard of living.
Right.
Oh, it's, you need me closer?
I need you close to the
okay,
mic.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's your first time. It's fine.
Yeah. So we do need...
Right. What about things like infrastructure? You know, before Trudeau left, he talked about high-speed rail. Our airports are falling apart, things like that. You know, Canadians need to get to and fro. Canadians like to travel the world. Not so much to America right now, but we like to travel mm-hmm. the world and hopefully travel in our own country a little bit. How does the NDP look at things like that?
So we want to build as much infrastructure as we possibly can. We want to expand on our infrastructure, every way. We need better public transport services and things like that.
We desperately do.
We need, you know, better healthcare. Our healthcare system needs to be improved.
And of course, that's provincial, right? So it's about how
it is both,
the
though.
Federal government transfers that money to mm-hmm. the provinces.
It is a mix of both, and you know, we need, you know, our more doctors, we need more nurses, we need to train those doctors and nurses and keep them.
Mm-hmm.
We need so much investment in our infrastructure, and that investment's going to create good jobs that makes Canada a lot more resilient against tariffs and other things like that.
One of the things that Prime Minister Carney, for example, has announced is his goal is to eliminate interprovincial trade barriers by the 1st of July, Canada mm-hmm. Day. Does the NDP agree with that? Do you think we need to get away from ourselves and be able to trade across this country?
As far as I'm aware, yes, the NDP does agree with that. Not 100% sure, but yes, as far as I'm aware, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Right.
I would agree with that, that we do need to be able to trade as much as possible within our own country. However, we have a lot of differing standards from province to province, and that's going to be a challenge.
That is the huge challenge. It's trucking, it's language, it's all those kind of things. But we also put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
So I think we can decide how we can make a standard for trucking. And again, get away from ourselves, because I do believe one of our biggest trading partners could be our own country.
Yes. One of our biggest trading partners should be our own country.
Right. We should be able to... If I like a cheese that's made, even though I support our cheese, but if I like a cheese that's made in Alberta, I should be able to buy it here if I want it without, like, just being able to buy it. It's not, now you can't, and it's kind of crazy, so.
Yeah, I would caution that there are, well, certain barriers and things like that for a reason, in order to help protect certain industries, so things like our dairy industry. And eggs and things like that, so that we don't have huge influxes.
Well, I don't think we need British Columbia eggs, right? But it'd be nice to get some wine and beer from BC, and I'm sure they would like the same out there from our incredible wine and beer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do 100% agree that, you know, trade between our provinces should be relatively easy.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time. Let's talk about the environment and getting our oil and natural gas and so on from point A to point. Are you okay with, you know, pipelines across the country and getting our product to be able to ship to other countries?
I have been working with my own feelings about pipelines recently and trying to figure out what those are. Fundamentally, I question who's going to want a pipeline running through their community.
Right. Well, we already have two that run through ours, just north of the 401, and people, I guess, are used to it, right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't be opposed to having a pipeline running from, you know, Alberta all the way through.
Right.
However,
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. You now have...
Oh, my goodness.
1 minute and 30 seconds to tell us why the people of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga should vote for NDP candidate Ava Duffy. Go ahead, Ava.
Okay. The people of Hastings, Lennox, and Addington, Tyendinaga deserve somebody who understands them and will fight for them. I am not a career politician, as you can clearly tell, but I am somebody who is passionate about the things that people need to make their lives better. And the people, what we need to make the lives better for blue-collar workers, for disabled people, for small business owners, for the LGBTQ, and for families. When I say that we need better access to healthcare, and when I'm saying that people are struggling under the skyrocketing cost, I'm speaking from experience. We need somebody who understands these issues on a fundamental level and understands how the tariffs are going to impact even the most vulnerable Canadians. So we need someone who has a passionate plan that is achievable to make changes in this riding. So if you're like me and you are tired of the status quo, you know, vote Ava Duffy on election day, and I will fight for you to get better access to health care, better jobs, security, and yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, find out about your party, find out about yourself, how do they do that?
Ava Duffy at ndp.ca.
Did you ever think you'd have a website?
No. I am actually fundamentally a very shy person, so this is all kind of crazy to me.
Well, listen, I know how nervous you were, and listen, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today, and best of luck on April 28th.
Yeah.
Well. All right. And listen, here's the deal too, folks. I don't care who you vote for Ava, vote for anybody. Just vote. And that
Please.
Is the big thing. Get out and vote. The election is April 28th. It's a Monday. We'll have full election coverage here for you on 800 CJBQ, including Jack Miller as our anchor, myself, Ross McDougall, and Mitch Hempel. And we'll have election coverage the very next day, post-election coverage. So everything you need to know about election 2025? It's right here on CJBQ. All right, big thanks to everybody joining us on the program today. Thanks to our consumption crew, and we'll test some great treats from Augusta tomorrow on the program. Big thanks to Ava for coming in today, of course, and our producer, Ted Bradford. Tomorrow, lots of fun on the show, as I mentioned. News is coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much for coming out.